Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Brahma Kumaris on this joyous occasion of Shiv Jayanti. I hope I hope you'll enjoy what we've in store for you. We have an evening which is filled with experiences of connecting with God and also of trying to understand God in a little bit more better sense than what we possibly have. I'll just quickly sort of take you through a few house rules. So the topic of today is under the canopy of God's love. And as you can imagine, when you talk about, if you imagine God's canopy, I don't think mobile phones will figure anywhere there. So if you can please switch them off completely, that will be useful for yourself and for your neighbors who are sitting around you. The second thing, again, a quick announcement is the exits in case of any unlikely event of a fire or any emergency. We have the exits on straight ahead and on this side, but please follow the ushers. They will guide you to the nearest exit. That will be a good sort of rule to follow. The other thing, finally, is this program is also being translated in Hindi. So hamare bhai aur behno jo Hindi mein sunna chahte hain, unke liye there is a special headset which you can ask for. The ushers will provide that to you if you've not got them. And Tamil peshrava irundana, you can also have a Tamil headset, Tamil translation also kadikum. So I hope you will enjoy that as well. And one more thing is that this is a program is being cast, is webcast live. So we will have a big welcome to the people who are joining via the web. And also on the same lines, if there is anybody in the room who does not wish to be photographed or pictured in the webcast, then please let the ushers know. They will take care of it. Yeah. So welcome once again. To start off the evening, we have with us Councillor Mohammed Butt from the Brent Council, who would like to say a few words. We would like to welcome the councillor onto the stage, please.
First of all, can I just say a big thank you to all the Brahma Kumaris and the Global Peace House as well for inviting us here today and to be part of this gathering as well. You know, being the leader of Brent Council is a great honor and a privilege. And you know, when I look around and I see so many people and I see all the different cultures, the different identities, the different heritages, now all bring us all together, and do you know the one thing that binds us? It's humanity. Do you know, you take a look at you wake up in the morning, you turn the radio on, you turn the TV on, you turn the newspapers over, and do you know what? Right, sometimes it's depressing, isn't it? Yeah? But for me, you know, the one thing I actually take from there is that when we sit in this room, right, we have one purpose. That one purpose, right, is about uniting all of us, unifying all of us, and taking that message of peace, harmony, unity, strength, right, and bringing that together. And then when we leave from here, right, we have a sense of purpose, we have a sense of delivery, right, because when somebody is on the floor, the best thing that you can do is to give that person a helping hand and make sure they're standing next to you, not behind you. Make sure you give them the opportunity to be able to be sitting in this room so that they can listen to all the good things that we're going to hear today. And we need to make sure we take that message, not just for our families and for our friends, but we need to make sure that every community that we engage with, every street we walk in, every place we go to, it doesn't matter whether you go to a mandir, or you go to a masjid, or you go to a church or a gurdwara, it makes no difference, my friends. The only thing that binds us is that one word, God's love. And we need to take that one message of making sure that love is not just from God, it's through that humanity of us being, caring, understanding that, because we are one nation, we are the human nation, and that's what we need to remember. Take that word forward. Make sure no one gets left behind. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you for your time. Thank you. So peace, harmony and love, and one nation of humanity. Thank you so much. So following this, we will have a brief video from Sister Jayanti, who is the European Director for the Brahma Kumaris. And she is giving us, she's actually currently in India. She couldn't be with us today, but she sends her best wishes and the message on occasion of Shiv Jayanti via a brief video, which will now be shown to all of us.
Om Shanti. Very special greetings for the festival of Mahashivratri. It's interesting that out of all the different names, firstly, we talk about Ratri when we say Shivratri, but we also talk about Mahashivratri. And this is because out of all the festivals, Shivratri truly is the highest one. This is because our understanding is that Shiva, the Supreme, the Benefactor, actually incarnates into this human world and takes on an instrument of a person who already has an old body, who's here in the physical dimension, and coming in the darkness of the world of Kali Yuga. In fact, at the end of Kali Yuga, the time of the darkest night, that is the time that God actually comes onto the earth to show us the path towards light and liberation and a world of love and truth. And so we are celebrating a very, very special event. But the beautiful thing is that this is not just a celebration of something that happened 5,000 years ago or maybe 10,000 years ago and is lost in the midst of time. It's actually something that we are participating in right now. Why I say this is because the Gita describes the time of God's descent as a time of extreme unrighteousness, at a time when in the name of religion and dharma, there is unrighteousness happening. Have a look at the newspapers. Have a look at the world around you. Do you recognize that it is that same moment once again? And this is then the moment that, according to the promise of God in the Gita, God actually comes to show us the way out of the darkness to the light. The memorial that we've been experiencing for Shivratri is the time when it's the darkest hour. There's no moonlight at all, Omavas, a time when there's total darkness. And then, of course, through God's incarnation, the light gradually comes. And then we celebrate the festival of Holi, a time of joy, of celebration, of being able to vanquish all that is negative and evil. And so God's incarnation truly transforms us and makes us pure, truly holy, fills our life with the color of love, of joy, of truth. And so it's a very special celebration. And because it's happening right now, this is the time when it truly is Shivratri, the time that God has incarnated and is doing the task of liberating us from that darkness and bringing us to the world of light and the world of liberation. And so how do we experience that today? We can experience the protection of God's love. No matter how much chaos is happening around you, just stay connected with God, with your heart, with your mind, and you'll feel God's love protecting you. And the chaos will stay outside, it won't come inside. But rather, the experience that you have of God's love will reach out and touch others and help them come back to a state of harmony also. Think about the time when, in sorrow, you remembered God and asked God to liberate you from sorrow. Well, that time is today, it's now. And truly through that connection, we can experience the liberation from all types of grief and sorrow and experience great happiness in our life. And so my hope is that your fasting, your upvas, is not just fasting from food for a few hours, but truly it's the fast in which we observe that which can bring us closer to God, upvas, to come nearer to God. And that means the fast of impure thoughts, impure words, impure activity and behavior, and that you will experience the true Jagran, the time when God comes to awaken us out of the sleep of ignorance, to take us out of that darkness of ignorance into the light. And so have a very special celebration for Shivratri, but this time with real deep understanding of its significance, so that you can experience the beauty and the truth that God wishes to bestow on you. Enjoy the festival. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Sister Jayanti. I think she has such a calming effect when she speaks that, I think you would already start to get a feeling of what we can anticipate today. What she said about, keep the chaos outside and not only feel God's love and protection, but also make others feel. I mean, that's an ask only Jayanti Ben can set in front of us. So I think on the journey of how we're going to experience this this evening, we have very simple interactive conversations on five topics. So the first is, of course, on the journey to understanding how to get under this God's canopy of love is the topic of knowing yourself and knowing God. We'll have a brief discussion and interaction with very experienced meditators and yogi sisters that we have with us, whom I'll introduce to you shortly. And followed by that interaction, we'll have a meditation commentary which will take us through the meditation experience, followed by a minute of silence, and then we repeat that to the next topic, which is connecting with God and building a relationship with God. And followed by that is protection and healing, experiencing that from God, and then experiencing the unlimited ocean of love from God, and finally the unlimited happiness, experiencing that. So it's all interactive, and it's also something that you will go through from a meditation standpoint. So be seated very comfortably, while to take us through this evening, before I introduce the our sisters, can I ask how many of you have come in here for the first time to the house? Just a show of hand. Quite a few. Okay. Welcome to Brahma Kumaris. And so to get us started for the evening, can I please welcome Sister Belinda and Sister Gemini onto the stage, please. Can we have a warm welcome on the hands? Thank you. I think Sister Gemini is the main coordinator for Brahma Kumaris in the Midlands, in UK, along with being the director of BK Publications, which publishes a lot of CDs and books, which you will get to see in the hall below. She is also a person whom I have known for a while to have no to-do lists. So nothing stays in her to-do list. It's always things come to her and it gets done. So she's very well known for that. So thank you, Sister Gemini, for being with us. And Sister Belinda is the national coordinator for Brahma Kumaris in South Africa and the neighboring countries. She has been experiencing God's love through meditation for over 29 years and has used the power of love and these God's protection and healing to fight off cancer and to successfully push that away and be with us this evening. So thank you very much for coming as well. And so we'll have, we'll start off with the first topic, a question to Sister Gemini. And, when you talk about knowing God, it's a fairly tall order. But knowing self, it almost sounds impossible. So is it necessary to know yourself before you get to know God? Is that somehow linked together? Or can you know one, can you do one without the other?
Om Shanti. Om Shanti is the greetings of peace. The question about which one comes first, I'm sure that each one of us sitting here in the room, based on our experience, we will be able to conclude by the end of this evening which one comes first for me. I will say, for me, it is knowing myself that comes first. And what is knowing myself? When it comes to knowing someone, I know the person, I know their name, I know what they do, where they live, etc. But that's all very mundane and physical, which is very limited to this world. Will that really enable me to go inside and really find out more about myself? What is it that I need to do in order to know myself? Simply, just to step away from all those physical, I would say first of all the name, which is the name of the body. So that means the body, which I identify myself to be this, and that's what I know from the time the child is born. The parents and all the relatives around the child would keep humming into the ears. You are so and so. They give name, and that name is so much given to the body, and the child is now identifying itself with that name. But what happened before that? The child was born, and so the identification of the child that was later on physical, in fact, becomes so prominent. But the child, as it grows up, it goes within to discover, I am something more than just this label. Could be anything, you know. So sooner or later, throughout our life's journey, there comes a point where the inner voice, the inner, sound makes the self to really discover something that lies hidden within myself. And so knowing the self, in fact, becomes a journey. So here when I have some sort of introduction about the person, then it's easy for me to know that person. But when I don't have introduction, it's very difficult to go close to them, to know them. So that applies here, that later on in my life, when I'm really struggling to find out more about myself, and yet I haven't got the accurate, precise introduction, where to look for this self? Where am I? Who am I? What am I? And so unless I'm given an introduction, so here comes the role of God, knowing God. And so really, if the child knows itself, its name, where what it does as it grows up, it's the introduction that the parents would give to the child. And then as the child grows up, becomes familiar with its environment, you know, gets all sorts of education, begins to identify himself, herself with different situations, and that will be the role. But really, knowing God, I will say from my experience, unless I have known or I've been introduced to myself by, there can only be one person, one being, and someone who is not trapped in the name and the form can do that. And so that's only one entity in this universe who is beyond the name and the form, who does not have a name and the form that I have. That one introduces or gives an introduction to the soul. It's only that one who can introduce me, myself, to myself. And so really it's a journey whereby God, knowing God, is not something that is far away, but in fact it happens simultaneously. Knowing myself, being introduced to me, who am I? So when I have this search of myself, finding out who am I, what am I truly, after achieving everything in life, I haven't yet discovered my true being, my true self. It's only possible when I begin to connect, when I begin to identify myself with a being. Within this body of flesh and bones resides this beautiful spark of energy, this light. And this energy, the name given to this energy is soul. In Hindi we call Atma, but soul, Ruha. And so it's this energy that I begin to identify on the journey.
So it's almost like you are born with a name, or you are born with an identity which is given to you, and then you go on a journey of seeking the path that, you know, which will lead to who you are, or finding out who you are. And at that point in time, you come across the powerful entity which we call as God, who then gives you the wisdom and the enlightenment to get more powers, to get to know yourself and God better.
That's right.
So
knowing God is something that defines my purpose. Knowing God, and especially there is a day when many cultures celebrate the coming, or the, you know, the cries of distress that the souls are, today we hear or we see all the things that are happening in the world today. In fact, it reminds the soul of that being. The soul knowingly, unknowingly looks up. Where are you? Are you listening? You know, are you looking at us? So really, these are the silent voices at such moments when the souls are crying out in distress, looking, searching, wanting to know more, wanting to seek the understanding, the insightful experiences, what I would say, who God is, and how can I connect with Him. So these moments or these chaotic times pushes us to find out more. You know, so we are kind of forced from within to connect not only with the self but to connect with the higher source,
entity.
The higher entity.
Thank you, Sister Jamini. That was wonderful. And what I wanted to do is just also ask Sister Belinda to add a little bit on what your experiences are on knowing self and knowing God. And also, if possible, take us through our first meditation commentary for the evening. Would that be possible?
Om Shanti, good evening everyone. So, very clear that this first step of or towards experiencing God's love is to know the self. And so let's take a few moments now. We're going to just experiment with a little meditation. And I'll ask you all just to relax. Perhaps you've had a busy day, and this is your first opportunity to sit quietly. So we relax the body. You're welcome to either close your eyes or even to focus. Meditation is a very simple process. It is a question of turning your thoughts and attention inwards. Most of our day, our energy and focus is out there in the world. But now, we turn within. The first thing we become aware of are our thoughts. The mind is accustomed to creating thought voluntarily. We just observe those thoughts. This is part of my inner world, invisible to the eye, very real. Not only thoughts, but feelings. And as we observe the mind, we can't help but notice that the thoughts slow down. And we begin to feel more peaceful. What are we experiencing? This is who I am on the inside. beyond all my roles and responsibilities and the masks that I wear. Here is the eternal and original self, the soul. So silent. Naturally peaceful. It is in this silent state that we begin our connection with God. Om Shanti.
I think it's, I would tend to forget what I'm going to speak next because you tend to go into a different world altogether. But I think Sister Belinda did give a clue towards the end of connecting to God and relationship with God. Sister, connecting with human beings often happens when you tend to be on the same wavelength or you tend to match frequencies and you talk the same language or at least tend to communicate a point on which you all believe in. And that itself is difficult at times. And now we're talking about connecting with God. I'm sure God is communicating on a certain frequency. How do we get hold of that frequency and tune into it? What's the best way of connecting with God and then building a relationship with Him?
I like the word you used, wavelength. And you're right, when we want to develop a relationship with anyone, we need to somehow get ourselves onto the same wavelength. But in order to do that, you need to know something about the other person. For example, if you want to develop a relationship with someone who is much older than you, let's say a grandparent, to get onto their wavelength, you have to know something about what they're interested in. You couldn't talk about the latest iPhone or something like that. So the same applies to creating a relationship with God. One of the things that I see as an obstacle is our tendency to project. You know, in Christianity, they say that, I think it's in the Old Testament, they say that God made man in his own image. You've heard that expression. Recently, I heard a different expression, but very interesting, and that was, man has made God in his own image. Do you think that's true? What we've done is we have projected human qualities onto God. And there's something called the map of consciousness, which I found very useful. It was created by a very great psychiatrist, David Hawkins. It's called the map of consciousness. And what he did was he took the whole spectrum of human emotions, from the very lowest emotions of, let's say, shame and apathy, guilt, going up the scale to fear, anger, and then up into the positive qualities of hope and joy and spiritual love. And then what he did, he showed how when we are in these different emotional states, our way of connecting to God changes. So, for example, if I'm in a state of fear, then my understanding or my experience of God is that God is a punitive God. If I'm angry, then I experience God to be an angry God. And then, of course, in the positive qualities as we go up, as we become more joyful, more loving ourselves, how does our experience of God change then? So we definitely have this tendency to see God through the eyes of what we ourselves are experiencing. And so we can see now why spiritual path, some kind of spiritual knowledge or understanding is required to help us to transform ourselves into these more positive states of consciousness. And together with that comes this beautiful transformation of how we understand God. And it comes closer and closer to the truth, because we are coming closer to our own truth. Because when we look at the soul, we start to realize that we might have a whole lot of negative qualities, but originally, underneath all of that, there is peace and love and compassion and beauty. And to awaken that, we need this inner journey. And then through that, God is able to reveal himself as he is. So we become free from all these lenses that we've created and that we wear. And that's what complicates our relationship with God.
That's amazing. I think that's a view. You know, most of us growing up have known God as to be someone who either punishes you or you have to be fearful of, because if you do something wrong, you're going to get it from God. Mm. Or be careful, God's watching.
So
that's a very beautiful way of actually looking at how you relate to God. And talking about how, you know, we look at God, I'd like to ask Sister Gemini Ben, on what image comes to your mind when you talk about connecting with God or a relationship with God? What's your view? And once we take us through this briefly, please talk us through another meditation commentary. And this meditation commentary will be followed by a dance performance by Sister Vasant Kumari on a tune which is called Nahi Subah Ki Nahi Kiran, which is more on expressing her joy of connecting and relating with God.
The image that I keep in my mind about myself, first of all, so that it actually helps me to connect with the Supreme, the Almighty God. The image is that image of a third eye. You must have seen Third Eye. And so this is the image that is there. And this third eye is open. Before, when I did not know myself, when I did not know who God is, this eye was closed, so there was no eye. But now, this third eye is open, so there is an eye. So it's got double meaning. So this eye is open to this world, which is another dimension, the world which is a spiritual world. So one is the physical, the second world, which is the spiritual world. The world which automatically we souls, sooner or later, we move into that realm. And this movement itself is called connecting. It's called communication and communicating and creating that harmony. So let us experience this beautiful communication of I, the soul. I have the inner I, the I of the soul, the soul, the sparkling energy, the radiating energy, the eternal energy, which lives forever. And so it's this energy that radiates my inner hidden qualities that I thrive for and I'm wanting to be closer to that. And those qualities bring me closer to the Supreme, to God. The quality of love. We all want to be loved and we want to love others. Love is deep within each one of us. And this unites me, connects me with the Supreme, with God, the higher source, the higher energy.
For those of you who don't understand Hindi, I think it roughly translates to the coming of light and hope and the new world after years of darkness. And so it is pretty much something similar to what Sister Jayanti said, that we live in a world which has got so much of unrighteous behavior and cruelty and fear and everything else. And after all of that is over, when there's a new morning, a new dawn that comes in, where you're able to forget yourself as in the body, and you're able to connect with God, you're truly experiencing unlimited happiness. I think that's roughly what it translated to. So thank you, Sister Vasant Mari. And so, okay, now we get back to our interactive session. We'll have the next topic. So we have known ourselves, we've had an experience of God, we've connected to God. I mean, the next thing that we'll be discussing is around the protection and healing power of God. You know, in today's world, we are so distracted ourselves with things that are self-inflicted and inflicted by external forces, that even if God is trying to protect you or heal you, you may not even be aware of it, or you may not knowingly accept it. You just will go into the other way where you potentially could get hurt. So I think the question I want to ask you, Jemini Ben, is what's the best way to stay tuned to the messages from God so that you're able to recognize through your own self and from the power of God on how, you know, the power of protection and healing works best?
Thank you. I'm experiencing goose pimples as Vasanta Kumari danced on this beautiful song, which so far has brought us to this experience that we've been discussing today. Really, one of the lines in this song was also connecting, tuning your mind, conversing with yourself, conversing with that one. So that's a real inner world. So when the soul begins its journey of knowing self and God, it proceeds further to that experience of higher realms. So remaining in tuned is really the thoughts which are being generated by my little soul, my little mind, chirping away as I see things through the physical eyes, I hear through the physical ears, you know, the expressions that come flying from all over, all around me, and the little mind, little soul chirping away all the different thoughts which are connected to the subconscious and the conscious, and sometimes causing a lot of stress, causing fear, causing anxiety within the mind of the soul. And so within the midst of all that which is going on within, inside and outside, is this thing that we can anticipate, you know, that could come on a mundane level. You know, suddenly some chaotic situation has happened, some accidents have happened, whatever, you know, unfortunate scenes and sceneries that we come across. The mind has to cross through those barriers, not just on a physical level, but also internally on a mental level, on an emotional level. At that instance, and at that point, if the mind were to remain in tuned in conversation on the wavelength that we talked about, the spiritual wavelength, the wavelength that the soul can converse with that Supreme Being as a friend, instead of getting wrapped up in one's own thinking, one's own thoughts, or getting distracted by all that. So the protection is definitely there, but consciously the soul is not feeling it. And so is the protection physical? No, it's not physical. I can have shelter around me, I can have people around me, I can have all sorts of security around me, and yet I feel very insecure. So what is protection? Where does it come from? It is something that I decide and I choose. When I converse with my friend, the eternal friend, God, whom I made my friend, that conversation will automatically transpire some messages that my little soul will pick on, will connect to. And so many a times we define God as silence. So it is those silent moments, those pauses that we create within our being, which enables this light of enlightenment, you know, to come in. And I'm able to really touch with my subtle eye and feel that connection. I feel that protection and feel the answers coming to me, and move in the direction, or make plan to go in the direction where I'm supposed to go, which is really beyond human, planning. And so, at such times, there is guidance, but I need to remain in tuned with silence.
So, what you're touching upon is, you know, we all say at times that I did this, I performed this action intuitively, or it just came to me. And I think those are times which, you know, you will actually increase the number of times that it happens to you if you're really tuned into God and you're really tuned into His message. So exactly. He works His way on you.
Correct.
And performs the magic.
Yes. Yes, and then I can experience the energy, which is very, very unique energy. And this is something everyone can experience. It's not just person who has experienced it, who has been on the journey. But I'm sharing my experience, but I'm sure each one of you can experience it. It's possible to experience it. And so this particular energy which is generated in this journey, the amazing power, which is, we call it, we label it as healing power, you know, which is kind of a buzzword. Healing is a big word. But really, what does it do? It takes away that feeling of fear, of being alone, or being, you know, under a lot of stress. So really this experience of healing, which is coming from that feeling of love, because I'm connected with that being, the Supreme, in this silence, that I can experience God's love, which is healing me. So it's not just the empty energy, it's actually a powerful, fulfilling energy of healing, which really takes away immediately all the negative impressions that could have left on the soul. And if this is allowed to remain for a long period of time, then you can imagine how it can penetrate the subconscious. And so before it goes into subconscious, it gets actually wiped out on a conscious level, and it's filled with God's love, the energy of love, which is healing energy. And that's what I would say, it's a healing energy, because it's really removed that feeling, the negative feeling that I've had, which came to me, could be just for a few moments. You know, it can leave an impact.
Thank you, Sister Emily. Sister Belinda, this is an experience that you've had to go through as well. You know, you went through a lot of pain and you got out of it successfully. What was your experience? And here in this question, we don't need to be very brief. We have a little bit of time. You can please talk about your experience of God's power of healing you, and then take us through a meditative commentary, please.
Yes, the subject of healing is very close to my heart, because I think it applies to all of us. There's not one of us who can really say that we don't need some form of healing. And if we just look at that word, what it says to us is that somehow we've moved away from our natural state. If you look at the word healing, right? So if I require healing, I require healing back to something. And in the case of my own experience, I learned over that period of time a lesson that we all know, and yet sometimes we forget, that every physical ailment is just the last part of an ailment of the spirit, of the soul. And then it just shows itself in a physical way. So what Sister Gemini was talking about, it's really this deep healing of the spirit. And it's actually only God's power that enables us to heal. What I experienced going through, it was a couple of years of treatment. So at a physical level, many things are happening, unpleasant things like chemotherapy and radiation. But at an inner level, perhaps even more unpleasant, you really get an opportunity to see yourself and to experience so many emotions that for me, I think my whole life, they were just buried underneath. So how can you heal if you don't even know that something is there? So an illness comes along, and actually it's a gift to show you that there is something that you need to address. And those negative emotions that came up, one of them was anger. I was very angry. And you know who I was angry with?
God.
With God. I was angry with God. Because when I stopped to think about it, why I was angry with God, because somehow God had let down his side of the bargain. And that's when I realized that actually my relationship with God was just that. It was a bargain. I'll do this and you do that. Do we do that in our lives sometimes? And then when, you know, in my case, God didn't keep me healthy or he didn't make the cancer just disappear, then I got angry. What a gift to really see that your relationship with God is faulty. And that's when the healing begins. When you realize that, hang on a second, if I want a genuine relationship, then I have to let go of, you know, that illusion that my relationship with God is some sort of contract. Because what I learned was there are certain things God can do and there are certain things God can't do. So let's go into reflection now and let's think and perhaps experience what God can do. So once again, turning our focus inwards to that world of the spirit, the world of the soul, the silent world. And reconnecting with ourselves at that level. We are so accustomed to connecting with our physical identity. But now, quietly, connecting to the real self. When we look at ourselves like this, we do see that there are things inside that need to heal. Those qualities that actually bring pain and discomfort to ourselves. It is fear, subtle fears of being judged or criticized. Perhaps it's a sense of low self-worth, that somehow I've never been good enough. Many things sitting inside. Let me ask the question, how does God see me? Can I just have a glimpse of God's vision of the soul? God, the Supreme Soul, only sees the soul. His relationship is with the soul. His love is for the soul. God sees that original form that I have lost sight of. The beauty, the divinity, the virtue, and the power. This pure vision heals the soul from deep within. We find we can let go of all those old beliefs and the old patterns. Just because God loves the soul.
Yeah, we've had our conversations of anger with God. Yes, so it was a good reminder. And also a good reminder to cleanse your spirit and tear up the contract and then experience the protection and healing of God. Thank you both, sisters. That's wonderful. And talking about contracts, the coming week there is a contract, is it not? Do you all remember there's a contract due? I think most of you in the room, which we all follow on 14th of February. So, you know, that is one type of love, and in the context of God, we talk about God being an ocean of love. And, you know, this ocean of love is not in terms of the vastness, of course, but I think in terms of the intensity of love. So I think the question that came to my mind was, you know, how does one go about accessing this unlimited ocean of love and access some love from it? And as Sister Jayanti told us in the beginning, that once you've accessed it, you should also share it so that people around you are also experiencing the same. So how do we go about accessing the love and then sharing it?
Thank you. Belinda, that was a wonderful reminder that you gave us all. What is the vision that God has of me, right? I think that's beautiful. So God's vision for me. And that really reminds me of God's protection and healing power. And the image that comes to my mind here is that of an angel. Angel is that being unlimited and you cannot hold it, you cannot catch it. And yet you say angel. And just the presence of an angel, the atmosphere that is generated in itself is giving the experience of protection. And just looking at the angel, if I'm lucky to see the angel, I can experience the power of healing in the wings of an angel. And it's like a huge protection, a canopy. So, God, unlimited. And God's helpers are unseen, but also they are unlimited. And so angels are the ones who are remembered as unseen helpers to God, who are also similarly unlimited. There's a certain amount of work that we souls can do on ourselves. There's always a limit. But for either soul to continue to do this work, I need extra force. I need boost. And this is the boost that I see coming from these unseen angels. And who are these angels? I'll come to that. God being unlimited, no boundaries, no limits. Again, an image of the ocean, but also image of the sun. Unconditionally giving. And so it takes away all the fear, all the anxiety, all the resentment that we humans are holding, you know, against God, or in that, you know, awareness that whatever it is that I needed to be or achieve, I haven't achieved or I haven't become, that it's all because it's God's fault. It's easy to point the finger. But if I turn this around and I say a positive affirmation by really allowing myself to accept and to just be. The meditations that we had, it actually confirms the whole experience of accepting. Accepting one's own self, but also accepting this higher energy, the supreme energy that is there at our disposal. But do I care to look at that or experience that? And so that unlimitedness that lies within God, automatically, if I connect, if I communicate, if I remain in tuned, this unlimitedness actually will touch your soul as well. And without knowing, you begin to take on those qualities. And this is how it is, the unlimited is that anyone can jump into the ocean and either just remain on the surface and just, you know, surf or just paddle or whatever, or decide to go into the deep and go for the jewels, go for the invaluable treasures that lies within the, you know, in the beds of the ocean.
To find the pearls,
yeah. So for that I need to have very much, I would say, that intuned connection.
Interesting. I think what I take from this is, you know, also in today's world, that people resist being loved, resist taking love. So if you accept God and you accept the fact that He is all loving and all forgiving, and just take a dive into the depth of the ocean, you will find the pearls.
Definitely. And so I need to definitely find it, but yes, it's there for me. It's waiting for me. And I just have to reach to that. And that journey is the journey that I have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for me.
Thank you. I think, Sister Belinda, a few words on this as well, on the topic of Ocean of Love and your experience, and followed by the meditation commentary, which I'm looking forward to this one. This will be by far one of the best, I think. No pressure.
Can I add something
here? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Unlimitedness, actually, you know, you rub shoulders like the son and the father, father and the son, working together in a business, how gradually the son grows up and he watches the father doing things and he is constantly with the father and in that shadow, in that image. You know, after a while, the child, the son, actually has been rubbing shoulders with the father and has taken on so many qualities, and even more so whilst being in that company, that there is, it gives great joy and happiness when other members in the family watches this happening. The son is now really being groomed, and the son has qualified it himself, and so there's great happiness. So happiness is something that comes to the soul as your inheritance, I would say, because you are receiving constantly something as an exchange.
And that also sort of ties into the sharing concept, because if you see somebody bloom in front of you by the power of God's love, you tend to sort of gravitate towards mm-hmm. that person and then follow that person mm-hmm. as well, and then share the love.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sister Belinda, why don't you take us through your experience and a brief commentary. And after this one, I think we'll have a short video of people sharing their experiences of God's love,
mm-hmm.
as well as a brief video, which we will share immediately after the commentary.
Well, love is such a loaded word in the world today, isn't it? 14th of February. And if someone forgets, what happens then? Someone didn't give me chocolates or roses or a card. So, of course, that is an expression of love at one level. But we do know that, And it's been said that the one who makes you happy is the one you love, right? The one who brings you joy. And I think that, as we also alluded to earlier, pardon me, we've been under the impression that God gives happiness, but he also gives sorrow. You know, when we lose someone close to us and we say it was God's will, but we're taking sorrow from that. That's why we sometimes get angry with God when we lose things. But if we really understand that this being that we've been talking about is the ocean of love and does not know the concept of sorrow. Does not know. So, in our meditation now, let us explore understanding this love of the Supreme. Always our first step is to see the self. we are building a relationship that is subtle between the soul, the self, and God, the Supreme Soul. And so very important that we step into that subtle world of thoughts and feelings. We see ourselves as beings of light, tiny, radiant beings. We could use the word angel.
Get emotional about this, sorry.
That he always knows.
He's really very patient.
He's always very positive.
He's never too busy.
Es inocente.
He's growing me.
Unbelievable compassion.
Il m'a emporté.
Et surtout qu'il est génial.
A bump of peace and bliss on me. I just couldn't stand it.
Intense power.
Shakti.
Only a bit more powerful.
Extremely respectful.
Supreme ka sagar hai, shanti ka sagar hai.
Él me abrió mi corazón.
Ukusem.
He's very gentle, very welcoming.
Bourré d'humour.
Unlimited.
Doesn't need anything from me.
He makes me alive.
Very intelligent.
So kind, patient, tolerance, you know.
He's a good listener.
Is dat nu authentiek? Dat nu jou?
Zuiverheid eigenlijk.
Oh, Hadibi.
Is extreem kloek. Alinipatia upendo mingi ndio nikafurahi sana.
Subtiel, très raffiné, très royal.
これ以上素晴らしいものは宇宙にありません。
Pour moi, il est fidèle.
He's here whenever I invite him.
Do you accept me like I am?
Jest to ktoś bardzo, bardzo bliski.
He's someone I can have all relationships with. You know, he's my papa.
Between the father and the friends, really.
He's also my mom.
Then I see him as my teacher.
He's my good friend.
Él es el director de mi vida.
And my guide.
彼は私のドクター。とても良いドクター。
He is not only an associate in my work.
My beloved.
That's private.
Oh, ek.
And of course, it's not a one-way relationship.
I experience myself as a form of light.
It transformed my life completely.
Je suis tombée amoureuse, comme d'habitude.
Well, I guess the biggest thing that changed was like a purpose in life.
I relaxed.
I don't have any questions. I have all directions. I'm whole, I'm complete, I have everything. And I love it.
The first effect was just an exhilarating feeling of another presence.
קוראים לי כל הזמן דברים שאני לא בדיוק חושבת עליהם ולא חשבתי ולא תכננתי.
उसके पास जो खजाने है वो हमारे ही है, हमारे लिए है.
Now I don't need to daydream. I just
pensaba que era una vida aburrida y el cambio ha sido maravilloso. Es extraordinario. Ahora me divierto más. Mi capacidad de trabajo es infinita. Mi creatividad es mucho más amplia.
More free. More independent in life, and the ability to be alone in the middle of everybody without being dependent on anyone or expecting anything from anyone.
Взаимоотношения, работа, все это происходит самым естественным образом.
Que me hace más feliz y más alegre.
Sumamente alegre.
Pues en mi ปัญหาฉันก็จะบอกพระเจ้าแล้วก็ให้พระเจ้าช่วยให้คำแนะนำกับฉัน
Because before that I was a little bit skeptic is the word perhaps yeah
目に見えないものを見る努力耳に聞こえないものを聞く努力をすれば
Gets you the life gets youThe decency gives you happiness, contentment. So what else one can find better than that?
La confiance en moi qui a grandi d'une façon soudaine et assez puissante, moi, je dirais.
Думала, если ты есть, то помоги мне.
Like as though there is an angel around me.
I suddenly discovered that I had within myself the potential to reach the highest.
Nunca nadie o yo no supe que mi fuerza venía de mi interior y del interior es esta identificación con el ser espiritual que somos.
Yo me he apne aap ko bhi samjha, main to sharir nahi hu, main atma hu.
Et enlève absolument toutes les peurs, la mort ou l'après-mort.
Realizations about myself and about people and about life.It's just a constant awakening for me.
I was in search.
I'm glad I found a way. It feels like a honeymoon which never ends.
And we dance and dance and dance.
It's not theory, it's not philosophy, it's experience.
In some countries, there's a tremendous, visible, overt response of love when you mention God.And then there are certain other countries where it's a little bit of a resistance that you can feel. And I'll try and find a way around the word God and say, the Source, the Divine, the Supreme. In fact, there is the One Supreme, the One Parent, who is the parent of all of us. And truly, recognizing that One Parent also allows us to experience our common humanity. And it truly becomes the experience of one family.
As Councillor Butt said, it's one humanity. So there was again a resonance towards the end when Sister Jayanti said it's one family. So whatever faith, whatever religion, I think the experience is what matters. So I think one thing, you know, does come to mind when you think about the video, do think about what role does God play in your life. And with this we come to one of the final sections of the evening. It's about the topic of unlimited happiness, and I would request both sisters to comment on it briefly. Unlimited happiness sounds like something which cannot exist, because you've been always told when you're growing up, please don't laugh so much because you will end up crying tomorrow. So how, I mean, if it does exist, how can one access it, and what should we do to experience unlimited happiness in life?
Want to start? Unlimited happiness. This is unlimited happiness. You just saw it. It is demonstrated through our persona, through our interaction, through our exposure to the world. Happiness is something that lies within each one of us, and we simply have to look within, and we went through the whole process today, and experience the treasure of happiness that's there within each one of us. So the moment I untap those inner treasure, the hidden treasures, they begin to flow. They begin to surface, and I begin to access it. When something becomes accessible to me, and this is something that is accessible, happiness, and it's also something I can share. This is one thing I could share. Peace is something I radiate. Love is also something that I can radiate. And I can share. But happiness is a very tangible quality which can be translated into our day-to-day dealings in our life, in different situations, in different ways. I think it's something that we enjoy doing it. I'm really happy. I'll dance. I'm very happy. I'll, you know, share something. You know, there are so many different gestures of happiness that we express it from time to time in our lives every day, throughout the day.
Thank you, Jim.
I think
yes, I think the emphasis is on unlimited, isn't it? It's a sorry state that for most of us, happiness has become a luxury. And, you know, we are constantly saying things like, when I achieve this, or when I go here, or when I see this person, then I will be happy. So we're constantly putting the criteria for our happiness on something that is outside of ourselves. We all do this, wanting things to go our way. But unlimited happiness is so different. We're talking this evening about very subtle things like God's love. God's love is not like the love of human beings that is always conditional and here today and gone tomorrow. And it's the same thing with this spiritual happiness. It is something that is our natural state. So in this final meditation, shall we see if we can really touch this natural state of happiness? Very subtle. So again, we sit in silence. Very important in our daily lives to come fully into the present moment. Not to live in the past or the future, but to know each moment completely. God is my eternal companion. Whether I'm aware or not, God is there. Just knowing this brings a feeling of contentment, of fullness. Nothing to be achieved or added. Just this moment in the company of God. To know what God knows, and to feel the happiness and love that God feels. Every moment is my choice. Choose the light the joy, or I can choose the darkness. As a child of God, happiness is my birthright.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kishore.
So, a quick thank you very much. I think that's a lovely evening. I hope all of you enjoyed it. So, we had 5 steps from today. Know yourself, not the original identity that we live, but the inner self. Connect with God. Establish a relationship. And also then experience His protection and healing. And what sticks to my mind is happiness and love from God is our birthright. It's for us to claim. So thank you, both sisters, and thank you, everybody. I think a big round of applause to the sisters. Thank you. And also a big thank you to all those who put this entire event up, all the sisters and brothers who worked tirelessly to make this happen.